Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North is with me to break down the Timberwolves win over the Cavs on Saturday night. And Marty, this was a blast. It was arguably the Wolves' best win of the season, a big home victory on a Saturday night against a full-strength Cavs team. And the Wolves pulled their record back to 500. They've won 6 of 7. It's just a ton of fun.
Oh, man, it was so much fun. The energy inside Target Center was just was significant. And this was 24 hours after the Wolves beat Phoenix last night. And I'm telling you, it didn't even feel like we were in the same town. It's weird how you can have the vibe from night to night feel so different. But I feel like because last night was against a Phoenix team that is so down, and you feel like, well, we should win by 20, and anything less isn't really a great win. And in some ways that's true, but then tonight you get this very good Cleveland team that's healthy, and you just, I mean, the effort and energy and locked in nature that the Wolves played with tonight was just spectacular, and the crowd was loving every minute of it. And Naz Reid and Luka Garza, and just, oh my gosh, it was as fun a game as we have had at Target Center all season.
Yeah, there's a ton to get to in this one. And really, you mentioned energy and effort, and I think we could almost start every postcast with that. Like, was it there or not? You know, check that box, yes or no. And that's, you know, always important, right? But for this particular Wolves team, that seems to be the biggest thing. And in this game, other than like a lull in the second quarter where I think they turned it over like 6 out of 7 possessions, and Finch had to call at least 2 timeouts, if not 3. It was just a really kind of terrible stretch. That's when Rudy Gobert went down. We should mention he left the game before halftime with, I think it was groin soreness, and didn't play in the second half. But outside of that one stretch in the second quarter, and I guess the early part of the third quarter, the Cavs actually got up by double figures again. The rest of this game, like most, the first quarter was great. The latter part of the third quarter into the fourth was great. Overall, the Timberwolves closed this game in a 55-33 run over the last quarter and a half, about the 7-minute mark or so of the third quarter. 55-33. Yeah. So it really kind of, other than that, like mid second quarter to mid third quarter period, this was a really strong effort performance for the Wolves. Against, again, the last time the Wolves beat the Cavs, they were not full strength. This was basically a full strength Cleveland team.
Yeah, Chris Finch after the game, he used the word mature. He said it was maybe our most mature win of the season, and that every time they got down, he felt like they could still win the game just because of the approach. They were still sticking to the game plan, the defensive effort and energy. And this is against a big Cleveland team. The backcourt is electric, dynamic, however you want to describe it for Cleveland. And then the Evan Mobley, Jarrett Allen, like that is a big front court. And Rudy Gobert leaves in the middle of the second quarter, and still the Wolves have very little problem holding down this Cleveland team. I'm not saying that Cleveland didn't try. I'm saying like what the Wolves did was very successful. And if you had just looked at that on paper, or just say, hey Ben, we're going to be without Rudy for most of the game, and Cleveland's going to be full strength, you think we're going to be fine against them? You'd be like, oh, Lord, this is going to be a long night. And here the exact opposite happens. It was wonderful to see. It makes you question some of the other games the Wolves have played this season. But you've got to see this once in a while from this team. And they've shown they can do it. It's in there. They can play like this. It was just tremendous.
Yeah, and they were good on both ends of the floor in this game. I mean, I guess first the offense. Cleveland came into the game second in defensive rating league-wide, and is really, as you said, really big. They're just a good all-around defensive team, and the Wolves, it's the sort of team you can't fall into play in isolation against a bunch, which the Wolves do sometimes. But in this game, I thought the Wolves, the tone was set in the first quarter. They got off to a really good start. They were only up 2 after the first quarter, but the offense was really humming along. It was a lot of driving and kicking. multiple passes on a possession, great ball movement overall. And I thought that that set the tone for the night. And then as the game wore on, I mean, you look at the box score, no starters except for Anthony Edwards scored in double figures. There was some foul trouble with Jaden McDaniels. Gobert went out because he was injured. And Kyle Anderson doesn't often score a lot anyway. But D'Lo ended up sitting crunch time, not because he was playing poorly, but because Jalen Noel was playing so well. So this was Anthony Edwards, and then it was a bench performance. And I think to a man, everybody that played well for the Wolves on both ends of the floor, really. But offensively, everybody was moving the ball. There weren't too many of those sticky possessions, even for Ant, even for Jalen Noel, guys that D'Lo, guys that sometimes do that. I thought everybody moved the ball really well offensively.
Yeah, I agree. And you could just kind of, you could feel it, you could see it. There's a different kind of rhythm. There's a different momentum when the ball is moving like that. And there was a point late in the fourth quarter when D'Angelo Russell got up, Chris Finch got him up to check in for Jalen Noel to close the game. And Noel had just hit a basket. I think it was an and one. And D'Lo hadn't gone to the scorer's table yet and made it official, but he had stood up and he was heading that way. And Jalen Noel looked over at the bench and like waved him off. And Chris Finch told D'Lo to sit back down. And D'Lo wanted to. He was like, they were all kind of pointing it. And D'Lo was like, eh. I mean, everybody was in agreement. Everybody was on the same page. And Finch was basically like, I am not messing with this right now because this is working. And I'm not going to do any substituting until this shows me that it's not working. And I just thought that was a wonderful feel on Finch's part to have the intention to put D'Angelo Russell in to close the game, but then see what Noel was doing out there, give Noel more slack because he was playing well.
Yeah.
He was having his most efficient and effective game in a long time. And rather than saying, okay, fine, you did your job, get you out of there now, send the real men to do the work, he just let Jalen Noel stay in because he didn't do anything to deserve to come out of the game. And Finch talked about it afterwards. He kind of confirmed that. Somebody said, we saw that on the TV broadcast, and he was like, yep, that is exactly the way you said it, and I thought I wasn't going to mess with this and let those guys finish out what they had done. So I thought that was a cool move too, and the fact that D'Angelo Russell was absolutely on board with it too.
Tonight's postcast is brought to us by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there, from pro football to all college sports. Of course, playoff football right now, NBA basketball, college basketball, NHL, any sport, you can find it at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can also find those at BetOnline. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today, or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. Let's talk a little bit more about the Wolves' backup bigs. I mean, you mentioned how big Cleveland is. Obviously, basically starting two centers with Mobley and Jared Allen, and Kevin Love coming off the bench. Like, this is just a really big team. And obviously, no Karl Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert goes down with an injury, plays only 13 minutes in this game. But Naz Reid was fantastic, scored 17 points on 16 shots. He was only 1 of 7 outside the arc, but he shot 7 of 9 on 2-point shots. Had like, I think, 3 or 4 basically poster dunks in this game.
Yeah,
4, yeah. 7 rebounds. I thought he was pretty good defensively overall against a really tough Cavs team. And then Luka Garza, too. I think we could talk about both of them at the same time because he came in and scored 9 points in 10 minutes, 4 of 5 shooting, knocked down a contested 3. Scored all his points, I think, on Mobley, had a nice defensive possession against Mobley. Just a really, really strong performance from both Naz and Luka Garza.
Yes, and they are two fan favorites, too. I don't know what it is about a backup center, but man, these fans react differently to those guys when they score points like that and they have those reactions and they're easy guys to root for. Naz had 4 dunks, 2 of them were very loud. The last one was poster type, but the 2 big ones brought people like out of their seats. The final one, you could see the Wolves bench in the background, and Matt Ryan had put his head into Nate Knight's chest, like, just hold me, hold me. And Karl Anthony Towns was walking the baseline, and like, they were all flexing on him. And those plays are worth more than 2 points. I know it's 2 points in the stat sheet, but like the carryover, the momentum, the energy, the deflation to the other team, that was, oh my gosh, it was just a spectacular moment in the game. After the game, Naz Reid was doing an interview with our TV broadcast, and he could see the monitor, and they were showing him these four dunks, and he was laughing, and he was going, well, that, like, that's nice. Ooh, that one was nice. And he's a likable guy. And he was talking afterwards. Somebody asked him about that last dunk in particular and, like, what his mindset was for some of these dunks. He was so physical, and he was just cut through the teeth of the defense, and he basically said something like, I knew I had to put the ball in the hole, and if I had to put these guys in there as well, then I was going to do that. Basically saying, if I had to like take the defender and just put him through the net as well, then that was kind of my mentality.
Well, and I think there's
it was cool.
Yeah, there's something refreshing about seeing a Wolves, a big for the Wolves that's willing and able to do that. I mean, we've seen going back years, I mean, how many big men for the Wolves would prefer to kind of, and not just big men, but athletic players, are just happy shooting layups instead of dunking. And how many, you know, bunnies have Wolves bigs missed at the rim, and Naz is trying to dunk on everybody. I mean, that's the mentality he has. And even, I mean, Rudy can dunk on people, and he did actually have a couple dunks early in this game. Yes. But sometimes Rudy's kind of, you know, he kind of just lays it up too. And we've seen so many bigs over the years for the Wolves do that. But to see somebody that wants to sling it on the defense is really refreshing, I think. And I think that plays into what fans, like what he taps into with fans. Let's also talk about Jaden McDaniels. He was phenomenal in this game. We talked about him after the win last night on Friday, and the stat sheet doesn't pop as much in this game. He did have four steals. He had zero rebounds in 28 minutes. But a lot of that's because he had the five fouls, and so he only played 28 minutes. But his defense, especially early in the game on Donovan Mitchell, that kind of set the tone. Mitchell ended up with 14 points on 16 shots, and this is a guy who was averaging, I think it's 37 points a game in January, Mitchell has. And McDaniels put the clamps on him early, got into some foul trouble, but then came back in the game with like 8 minutes left, played the last 8:26 of the game McDaniels did with five fouls and didn't foul out. And whenever he was on Mitchell, he was fantastic. He moved the ball offensively. He had the four steals. There were a couple of loose balls that he just kind of scooped up quicker than anybody else could get to the ball. It's those little plays that McDaniels has the length, the athleticism, et cetera, to do that not very many guys on the floor for either team can. And I thought this was just another really strong all-around game, despite the foul trouble.
And he had two significant blocks in the fourth quarter with five fouls. And I always find that admirable for a player who can still be aggressive and challenge shots defensively when you know the next one, you're done. So I thought that was telling for Jaden as well, to be able to not stray from the kind of defender he's been and the kind of defender that the Wolves need him to be. He was still that same guy with five fouls and affecting the play. And I just thought there were two dunks that I specifically wrote down, like, and starred and noted, yeah, he has five fouls, and he still made this block. It was, it's hard to quantify Jaden McDaniels. As you said, Ben, right when you started talking about him, the stat sheet doesn't do him any favors, especially on a night when you don't rebound very well, and you're like, oh, geez, really? Because you can't, I don't know where his defensive impact is on slowing down Donovan Mitchell, one of the great scorers and one of the best scorer in the month of January in the league. So let's make a new stat column and let's put Jaden McDaniels at the top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it's been so much fun to watch his growth over the course of the season. We talked the other night about how recently just the game log is so good for him as well, but also the stuff that doesn't show up in the box score. Last thing, the Wolves defense in the second half, we talked about the 55-33 run to close the game. But the Cavs only had 22 points in the fourth quarter. It was one of the best kind of, like, I don't know, 10 to 15 minute, you know, fourth quarter into the end of the third quarter defensive, like, block periods of time that we've seen the Wolves have in a really long time. Pretty much across the board, I thought Kyle Anderson, we talked about McDaniels, obviously Kyle Anderson was very good defensively. He basically took over low man duties in this game. And, he often has that role, but he was, you know, getting to rollers. Jared Allen's a tough roller. Evan Mobley, these guys are difficult, big, like, actual bigs that Kyle Anderson was being asked to check. And then they were also doing a really good job. We talked about McDaniels on Mitchell, but on Darius Garland too, just kind of, they did a little bit more trapping on the perimeter, trying to force the ball out of their hands, and everybody was active. We saw multiple, like, scramble, you know, where they're rotating and scrambling to cover, to X out in the corners to contest shots. It's just that the crispness that the Wolves played with defensively that we don't often see. And that was a huge part of this game against a really good offensive team.
Yeah, it was sticking to the game plan. It was second in efforts. It was cohesiveness. It was the toggling that Finch talks about at times. He was talking about how he's felt really comfortable with the team's offense and felt really confident with the team's offense for basically the entire season, that it's just been the defense. And I mean, that's not going to shock anyone. You watch any Wolves game almost this entire season, and you'll know that, yeah, the defense is where the team needs the work. But Finch said it's been coming along and he's starting to feel more comfortable with it. He's been feeling more confident in it and that he can see it in the guys as well. But, you know, it also, we can't get too caught up in the one night, because what is today, Saturday? The Wolves lost in Detroit on Wednesday. And it was probably, I have to look back at the measurement, but I think it was their worst defensive night of the season. So that was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is 4 days later, and they have their best. And so draw whatever conclusion you want. I don't know if that's more of an indictment on these players. Like, okay, so where has this been all season? And where was this on Wednesday? Because if they won that Detroit game, we'd be talking about a seven-game winning streak right now. So I guess it's glass half full, glass half empty, depending on how you want to look at it. The Wolves apparently have this in them, and they can do this. Maybe they needed to see it for themselves. Maybe they needed to somehow tap into it, and tonight they did, and we'll see more of it going forward. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I saw a transcribed quote from Chris Finch after the game where he said basically we can beat anybody or we could lose to anybody on any given night.
Yes.
Is that something similar along those lines?
Yes. Yeah, he said exactly that, and that's scary. That's what he said.
Yeah. Well, and it's absolutely true. And you know, you could say that about, it's the NBA, right? Like any, but that could happen on any night. But the Wolves are like maybe the best example of that. And to a win like this without probably their two best players, and currently as of today, and Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, to beat a team that has all of their best players like that is just on a back to back too. It's just amazing. And then, like you said, it could be seven in a row if it wasn't for the Detroit loss. So, at any rate, the Wolves continue the homestand on Monday. It's a matinee on Martin Luther King Jr. Day against the Utah Jazz. It's a 3 p.m. Central tip. We'll go live for the postcast after that one as well, about 45 minutes or so after the end of the game. We do this after every Wolves game. A big thank you for watching on Locked On Sports Minnesota. You can also listen on Locked On Wolves on any of the audio platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find this show after the live broadcast. The recording will be on Locked On Wolves. A big thank you again for watching or for listening, and we'll catch you next time.